It affects our church and some of the most special people in our life. But after 9 months, at least, of carrying a child, this past Wednesday, Chelsea and Grayson Osborne introduced into the world their newborn son, Maverick Reed Osborne. Right there he is. Born May 4th, he checked in at 22 and a half inches long and 8 pounds and 12 ounces. He's already 3 months old right now. And how appropriate that we have new life in the church on Mother's Day. Our congratulations to Chelsea and Grayson. Also, Pastor Steve and Lori Osborne, they are grandparents again. This is their sixth grandchild, and all of them are boys. So, and then also another Chelsea's mom and dad are in our church. Congratulations to these new grandparents, Forrest and Tanya, and all of us. They're like family to all of us. So if we were giving an award today for the mother who's had a baby most recently, it would go to Chelsea. And so our congratulations are there. If you're visiting today, and many of you are, if we don't have you on our database, if you don't ever get an email from us, we'd like to include you if you'd like that. Fill out a visitor's card. Give us just your basic information. Drop it in the offering basket on your way out, and we'll add you to our list, keep you informed of things going on around here. I do want to mention that this has been a great week, and I expect next week to be even better, but this past Thursday night, we had our annual National Day of Prayer. It was for the entire city of Florence. It was held at New Spring Church, and we appreciate those of you who came out. It was an hour of praying for, of course, our nation, and our nation needs a lot of prayer these days. Thank you to Brother Jolly, Sister Margaret, for the leadership role you play every month in our citywide prayer gatherings here from one church to another. There were 12 churches represented, prayer warriors from 12 churches. Ruthie Hancock did an amazing job. She's our altar prayer ministry director, and she participated in the National Day of Prayer, and we appreciate all of you who blessed our city and our nation by that event. Do want to mention also this past week was a great week. I'm not sure if you saw this already. If you follow us on Facebook, you saw it on our church Facebook page, but the rain came and went quickly and left a beautiful rainbow. Would you kill all these lights except the, look at the, over our church, can you believe the rainbow? Thank you, Tracy Rowell, and Reflections Photography gets the credit for this. Happened to be at the right place at the right time. Now the rainbow is a sign of the promise of God for your life. And so if you're connected to our church family, then we include you. We are grateful. God has made promises to you and to your family and to all of our church. The rainbow is a sign he's going to keep his promises to us. So thank you, Tracy, for taking that picture. Now, next Sunday, we hope you'll come back and we hope you'll be dressed more casually and more comfortably, because next Sunday, after our morning worship service, all of you are invited to walk over here to our park. We will have our grills smoking. We will have hamburgers, cheeseburgers, hot dogs, and all of the sides. I believe baked beans, coleslaw. If it goes with the cheeseburger. We're going to have a grill out in the park. Now, it's been a couple of years since we've really enjoyed fellowshipping and eating together. So I hope all of you will stay. Now, we have a lot, we have plenty of space out there, picnic tables. But if you have a favorite chair, a folding chair, a lawn chair, bring it. We want you to be comfortable. Nobody will have to be up in anybody's face. It's all outdoors. And if you can't find your way to church, if you forget how to get to church. Next Sunday, just follow your nose. And the last announcement before the message. Today is a very special day. Everybody in this room has one thing in common. All of us had a mother. And today is Mother's Day. And it is special because of that. I'm going to ask every woman in the auditorium who is a mother, would you stand, please? We want to take a minute to look you over and offer our congratulations to you for all that you did. My. We should not take it for granted. We are grateful to all of the moms. And we want to give a gift to every mother here, not just every mother, but every woman ages 18 and over. We're going to give a nice gift on your way out. Some of our teenagers from the youth group will be at a table in the lobby. And every woman, every adult woman gets to take a tote bag. How cute is that? Whispers of God's love. I have redeemed you, have called you by my name. You are mine, from the prophet Isaiah. So every lady, get a free gift on your way out. Well, it is Mother's Day, and I noticed this on USA Today, online news yesterday. Maybe you saw it. The title was, The Most Prolific Mother Ever. And it said, now, you know, I don't believe everything I read online. You know, there's some stuff on the internet that's absolutely not true. So I don't know if this is true or not. USA Today confirmed it. The record for the number of children born to one mother is 69 children born to one mother. I don't know if I want to believe that or not. God bless that woman. She lived in the 1700s, and she's recorded in the Guinness Book of World Records, and it doesn't even give the woman's name, only that she was the wife of Fyodor Vasilyev, a peasant from Shuya, Russia. She gave birth to 69 children. She gave birth to, I don't know if I believe this, 16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets, and 4 sets of quadruplets. I don't believe it. I'm just saying, ladies, I don't believe this is true, but now you can Google it and see if you want to believe it or not. But my God, for a woman to bring one baby into the world, the miracle of birth. Today we're talking about the legacy that we leave to our children and to our children's children, and how it's up to each of us at every generation to pass the faith along. Today we celebrate our mothers. We celebrate birth mothers. We celebrate adoptive mothers. We celebrate step mothers. We celebrate foster mothers. We celebrate our divorced moms. We celebrate our married moms. We celebrate our single moms. If you are a mother, we're celebrating you today. And ladies, speaking on behalf of the fathers, we honor you today for bearing our children, but just so you know, you couldn't have done it without us. There is that little poem that's popular every year around this time. It's M is for the many things she gave me. And you know the O, and it spells out mother, and it's cliche, and I'm not going to sing it. And the one thing I want to point out about that poem or that little song is the obvious fact that M-O-T-H-E-R, while it spells mother, there is no U in mother. But there are some descriptive words I want to give you quickly that begin with U. And I'm contending that mother should be spelled M-U-T-H-E-R. It just sounds right. But to describe a mother, unselfish. When a woman has a baby, never again will she make her own self her first priority. Not ever again. From that moment forward, she's unselfish, and her first priority is her child. A mother is never happier than her least happy child. And you moms who know that's true, say amen. I'm expecting some amens out of you mothers in here this morning. Another word, if mother had been spelled with you, is unconditional. That describes the love God has for all of us. Unconditional. You mean with all I've done wrong and with every bad thing I've done or thought, God still unconditionally loves me? Yeah. And a mother's love for her child is the closest thing to God's unconditional love for us. Here's another U word to describe mothers. Underappreciated. They deserve recognition and appreciation more than one Sunday a year. And another U word that describes a mother is unpaid. How much money would I have to pay to anybody else who did everything my mother did for me and you? First of all, carrying us and growing us inside her body, and then going through the labor and travail of giving birth and delivery, and then to take us home from the hospital and wonder, is he breathing 24 hours a day? Is he hungry? What does that cry mean? Did you hear him sneeze twice? Oh my. And to keep us alive and healthy, and raise us to adulthood, how much money would any of us have to pay to anybody else other than our mother who did all of that for us at no charge? Now, I'm going to share my time this morning with Brenda, and she is an incredible mom. I honor her. She's the mother of our two daughters. I also honor our two daughters because now they are incredible mothers to their kids. And of course, I'm thinking today about my mother, Brenda's mom, both of whom are in heaven. My mother's been with the Lord for 35 years. Brenda's mom has been with the Lord for 23 years. They both left us at early ages, but I'm blessed to have my wife come and minister for a few minutes. Would you make welcome my first wife, Brenda, and the mother of my children?
I am your only wife.
Your only wife, my only wife, okay.
Suck it up, deal with it.
Okay. You behave yourself now, or else this will never happen again.
Uh-oh. Are you threatening me?
Oh, I will tell you this. If you want, now we've been married about 46 years, And this is true. This is just true. I'm not saying this publicly, and I don't say it to her, but I tell her from time to time, on special occasions, I tell her, if we had 1,000 lifetimes to live together, every day would be heaven on earth. And so, men, take that hint. And I'm going to give you another hint,
true.
Men.
That's true.
It is true. Don't I tell
Me
you
too.
That? And I believe that. You know. But here's something new Brenda and I have started doing just in the last week or so. She started it. And I'm going to give it to all of you. If you have a spouse, then you can work, both of you equally can work with this. But she started it a few days ago. I forgot what it was, but we were in the car, and she reached over and tapped me on the knee, and she said, "Darling, I want to give you accolades." And I thought, well, I like the sound of that so far. And she said, "I just want you to know I've noticed you have improved in this area, and I just want you to know I've noticed it and I appreciate it, and I want to give you accolades." Mm-hmm. Well, that was so much fun until later that day I said, "I want to give you an accolade." And even though that's a simple little word, we are enjoying giving each other about every day. And so yesterday I said, "Darling, I'm going to give you an accolade. The spaghetti you cooked, the sauce was just perfectly seasoned. It was a great spaghetti meal, and I want to give you accolades." So all of you who are in relationships, you can take that and work with it. You deserve an accolade, and you should give an accolade to that special person in your life. So thank you, darling.
I will be very brief this morning. I just want to say.
You take your time. You just go ahead
just
and take
your
time. Just
want to say, first of all, happy Mother's Day to all of you. I am a mother. I know it is not for the faint of heart. It takes a strong person to be a mother. And I just want to say, I hope you all have a great day. And especially Chelsea Osborne, bless you, darling. That was a big baby. He is adorable, but happy Mother's Day to you. And I just wanted to share just for just a few minutes about my mother. My mother was, and I know it's so easy to say, she was the best mother in the world. She was amazing. But when I tell you my mother was the best mother in the world, I truly mean that from the bottom of my heart. The scripture says about the virtuous woman, her children will stand up and bless her. And today I want to stand up here and I want to bless my mama. She was wise, she was kind, she was sweet, she was quiet. I don't know where I got my big mouth from. I guess I got it from my daddy. But my mom was so meek and so gentle and so kind. And it wasn't just to us, it was to everyone. And she played such a heavy role in not only our lives, but she was a pastor's wife also. And back in her day, when I was young, they had church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We had revivals, and you dare not miss one night of a revival. I don't know if any of you remember these days, but I remember many days that we would go to church every night and go to school the next morning, maybe sleep on the benches, but we were there. There was not an excuse you were in church. And it wasn't legalistic. It was our faith. It was their faith that we were there. And I'm so thankful for that heritage because it has followed me throughout my life, and I am not a Christian. I do not believe in God as my father because they told me I had to do that. They instilled in me those beliefs, and I chose for myself to carry that on through my life. and to give that to my children. It was a choice I made. And I just want to say how important it is for mothers. I know we get tired and we get weary and the days are long sometimes, especially with young children. It is a thankless job at times. But do you know what? Every day may seem like those days will never end. But I'm standing up here today, and I have a 40-year-old. I have almost a 34-year-old. I have 4 grandchildren. And it's like it passed in the blink of an eye. And I just want to encourage you, if you're in that stage of a young mother, I know you're tired, I know you're weary, but listen, the word says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Now, they might take a little detour, and they might be lost for a little while, but I firmly believe they will return home. I believe that with all of my heart. And we just have to be diligent in our mothering and not grow weary. My mom was one of the greatest intercessors I've ever seen in my life. She just interceded for everyone. But I remember so many occasions. The year that we went to Latvia, we were gone for an entire year. And I'm not going to go into the story, but we lived in a house that we loved in Parkwood. And our children were raised there. It was our home. And when we were ready to leave to go to Latvia, we had entered into a lease agreement. The man forfeited on the lease, and he went into bankruptcy. We ended up losing a house that we had poured money into. And I remember the day that everything was out of the house, and I went into that house, and I was vacuuming, and the carpet in the front room was the last room I did. And I remember as I was vacuuming that carpet, I was singing and I was praising God and I was thanking Him for that home and for raising our children there. And I remember saying, God, if this is not our house and if it's not to be when we return, I pray that the people that get it will be as blessed as we were and they will feel Your presence in this house. And I remember walking out of that door and locking it for the last time and knowing I probably would never see it again. Well, God had different plans and my mama had different plans. My mom and daddy had a key to that house while we were gone. And I want you to know every chance they got, they went in that house, they walked through that house, they prayed over that house, they agonized over that house being there for us when we returned. And when we got back, that house stayed empty for the entire year we were gone, and we purchased it for less than what we had originally agreed on, and we lived there for many years after that. And that was because I firmly believe part of my mother's intercession. I remember when I was putting up dishes in the cabinet, I found a prayer cloth and it was taped to the cabinet door. And my mama had written on that prayer cloth, and you could still see the oil stain on it. She had written on that, Father, in Your name, I claim this house for my children and my grandchildren, and devil, You will not take it away. It will be theirs when they return. And I was putting my dishes up, and I saw that note. And I said, thank You, God, for a praying mother and a mother that believes in intercession. I'm telling you, ladies, mothers, you can change your children's lives. by praying for them and interceding for them. There's so many occasions that I remember that her intercession made a difference. I will never forget, and I'm hurrying, sweetheart.
Take your time.
I'll never forget one night when Carl was on the road with Laverne, and they were in a big bus. I believe it was like 3 a.m. My mom came into my room and she said, darling, get up now.
This is before we were married.
Yes, we were not even married, but she loved him better than she loved me sometimes, I think. But she said, darling, get up. We've got to pray right now for son. And I said, Mama, what in the world? She said, I don't know. Something bad is wrong. We've got to pray now. We got on our knees and started praying. And that morning, he called me. And at that very hour, the bus had been in an accident. And they were all safe and sound, and no one was injured. That's what prayer can do for us. Prayer works. It still works. It is not outdated. It is not for the past. It is for right now and for our future. And being a mother, it's learning the strengths that we didn't even know we had. We find strengths that we thought were impossible. We're nurses, we're accountants, we're teachers, we're housekeepers, we're everything that we probably never thought we could be, but God created us to be that way. And I just want to also say, I did have a great mom, and I'm so blessed. I had her for 41 years. I lost her early, and I miss her terribly. But I'm so thankful that God blessed me with those 41 years. And because of what she taught me, I raised my girls the same way, and they are amazing mothers, and I'm so grateful for that. And I'm also thankful that God healed me and kept me strong, and I'm here to be a mother and a grandmother. I'm so grateful for that. But I did think, I was praying about just what I was going to say, and God impressed on me. There are those of you, and I've heard from many of you over the years, that your relationship with your mother may not have been the best. It may not have been a godly relationship. But I just want to say, we can break that anger, that hurt, that disappointment. If it's a generational curse, we can break that. God's given us the power to get from under that. And you can forgive, and you can go on, and you can be a great mother, and you can start with your children with a different mothering, and you can bless your children and not carry that hurt. The word says those who love God will be blessed to 1,000 generations. That means my children. That means their children. That means their children. That means your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, every generation will be blessed because you love God and you honor Him. And I'm thankful for the legacy and the heritage that my mom passed down to me. Happy Mother's Day. I love you all. Oh, I forgot one thing. Can
well,
I say
please,
one more thing?
Take your time.
I wanted to show this. My father blessed me with this one Christmas. I think it was just, oh, it was 2012. My mom, when she was carrying me, had many, many, many issues. And the doctor told her, you may not survive carrying this child. It was bad. And a few months before, they were riding in the car, and Daddy looked over at Mama, and he said, Mama, the doctor says it's a possibility that you may not survive, or our child may not survive. Now, if it comes down to it, and the doctor says to me, what do you want to do? Do you want to save your wife, or do you want to save your baby? I need to know what you want me to say. And she prayed this prayer that day. And she said, oh God, whatever happens to me, please take care of my baby. And because of her faith, we were both spared and were healthy and whole for many years to come. And I'm so thankful that she had the faith to stand for both of us. Amen.
Well, thank you, darling. God bless you. Thank you for... No, never mind. Okay, I'm going to be quick. In 2 Timothy 1:5, by the way, while you were sharing, it occurred to me that another thing I don't believe. There are no atheist mothers. Just don't believe it. They may think they're an atheist. They may question God's existence. But when that baby gets sick or is threatened and in danger of any kind, that mama who thought she didn't believe in God cries out, oh, Jesus, oh, God, don't you know it? My, my. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul wrote to his son Timothy, and he said, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I know the same faith continues strong in you. Here we see a biblical pattern of passing the faith along. And let me say that kudos to you moms. Mothers do the heavy lifting most of the time. There are things Brenda has been able to do for our girls I could never have been able to do. So we honor you moms for that. And one of the most important things you can do is pass your faith along. Yes, when your child becomes an adult, he or she will have to make a decision for himself. But it's our responsibility to train them in the right way. They may get off track. Some of you have children right now that may be off track, but if they were trained in the Word, if faith has been passed down from one generation to the other as it was in Timothy's life, then they will find their way back home. I fully believe that. Where did Timothy get his faith foundation? Not in a Sunday school, not in kids' church, not watching their favorite evangelist on television, but Timothy got his faith from his grandmother, who passed it down to his mother, who passed it on down to Timothy. Mothers are critically important in the generational transfer of faith. This is our legacy, the greatest legacy, the heritage we leave for our children. It is their birthright, our faith in God. Genesis 3:20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Now, we all know Eve, and she's gotten a mark against her because of a monumental mistake she made in the garden when she reached for the one thing that was forbidden. And we've never let Eve forget that mistake that she made. But God still used her to give birth to all living. And she, think about it, she did not have a mother to learn from. And she, Eve, had sons that were involved in the first murder. And Eve, the first woman, was the first mother to have to bury a child. She was a mother in every way, and yet had no mother to teach her how to do it. I'll just ask, you can raise your hand. This is not a trick question. How many of you have had your mother stick her nose in your business? At least once. Okay. Mothers get a free pass. Now, if your mother ever comes to you and say, do you want a piece of advice? It's just a formality. It doesn't matter whether you say yes or no. You're going to get it anyway. If it's not one thing, it's your mother. But mothers are our greatest heroes. I want to give you two or three real life examples. Of course, scripture's filled with great mothers. But there was a lady in our church for many years. Her name was Esther Gillespie. And she gave birth to a son many years earlier. And the child was named Tommy, but was born with severe handicaps. And the doctor came to Miss Esther the night Tommy was born with such disabilities and handicaps. And the doctor said to Esther, don't get attached to this baby. He will not make it even through the night. But Tommy did. And then the doctor said, he won't make it through the week. But he did. And the doctor kept changing. Then it became, it's amazing, the doctor said, but he won't make it to his teenage years. He had multiple physical challenges. And that Miss Esther loved that boy from the moment he was born. Everything was about him. She gave up everything but him just to take care of him against all odds. And Tommy Gillespie lived for 58 years. And Miss Esther was in her mid-80s when Tommy finally went to heaven. And in the goodness of God, even though it was heartbreaking for Esther to lose Tommy after 58 years, she never left his side. He could not be left alone for 58 years. The Lord took him first and relieved Miss Esther. She would never have to worry about Tommy getting the care he needed had she passed away first. Then a year or two after Tommy passed away, Miss Esther went and joined him. What a great mother. I mean, the model mother. Also, many years ago, there was a young lady in our church. Her mom and dad, we know them all, Jamie and Janet Lambert. And this young lady's name was Amy. A beautiful young lady, healthy, the promise of a bright future in every way, and met a young man that was great, and they fell in love and got married. And then one day they were given the good news from the doctor that they were going to be parents, and they celebrated that. They were ready for that. And just a couple of months into the pregnancy, Amy, that mother-to-be, was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And the doctor said to her, it's an aggressive form of cancer. We can make you no promises, but we do have a choice. We can fight for the life of this baby, and by then they found out it would be a boy. Or we can aggressively treat you for this cancer, but it will cost your unborn baby his life. And without even having to think, Amy said, don't take care of me. Take care of my baby boy. So she carried that baby full term, and the boy was born, a healthy, beautiful baby boy. And within a few months after that, Amy passed away. What a love story. It's so much like the love of God for all of us, the love he gives a mother for her child. In the Bible, Sarah, Abraham's wife, gave birth to Isaac in her 90s. She gave birth and allowed the promise of God to come about by her childbearing, even in her later years. In Scripture, a great mother was Bathsheba. Now listen, you mothers who have a checkered past, you might still be in trouble now. Bathsheba, the first thing we hear about her is she was the mistress and had an illicit affair with the king, got pregnant because of it, which led to a cover-up and all kind of corruption. And by the way, the king was David. Aren't you glad God redeemed David and he also redeemed Bathsheba? Now, if you don't believe that God can redeem and take somebody who's been bad and redeem them, if you don't believe that, then we need to tear the book of Psalms out of our Bible and not read it anymore, because God inspired David to write most of the Psalms. God also made David the greatest king Israel ever had. But in the early years, Bathsheba had an affair, broke up a marriage, but God redeemed it, and she later on became the mother of Solomon, David's son, who built the temple. It's not David's temple. It's called Solomon's temple. In the Old Testament, there was a mother who remained nameless. All we know is she was Shunammite. She was from the city of Shunem. And she had a son that was special to her. And the son died. And you know the story in the Old Testament well. She told her servant to saddle up the horse and the carriage, and she led out in a hurry to the prophet's house, and nobody could slow her down. She was on the way to find the prophet who she fully believed could make a difference in the death and then life of her son. And her response to everybody who said, how you doing? It is well. She didn't waste anything. It is well. That mama knew most important thing right now is getting life back to my boy. And I don't have time to jibber-jabber and tell how I'm doing. Everybody who might ask me that question, it is well, she said. And it was self-fulfilling prophecy. God raised her son back to life. In the New Testament, there was a mother, and she was also nameless. All we know is that she was a Gentile. She was not an insider to the faith. But she begged like a dog, literally, for Jesus to heal her daughter who was sick. Oh, the power of a mother, and a praying mother at that. Mary became pregnant by the word an angel spoke to her, and then she delivered the word to the world at the birth of Jesus. Elizabeth was John the Baptist's mother, and John the Baptist, while he was inside his mother's womb, was filled with the Holy Spirit in utero. God uses mothers to bless the world with their sons and daughters. Every child is a gift from God. The mama might not have prepared for the child. The daddy might not have prepared for the child. No planning was made for the child, possibly. But God was not caught by surprise. The Bible says, even in your mother's womb, I knew you. I called you to be a prophet, the Bible says. God speaking to Jeremiah, while you were still in the womb. And in your mother's womb, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. God and your mother has had a partnership since the moment you conceived and became pregnant with a child. And there's the story of Hannah, and I'll close with this. You can scour the book from cover to cover, find so many great mothers to celebrate today, in addition to the wonderful mothers in your own life. But the story of Hannah stands out. She was barren, and she would go to the tabernacle to bring her offering every year, she and her husband, and there would always be mixed emotions in her because she wanted a child so badly and had never been able to conceive. And so she and her husband made the journey to the tabernacle this particular year. And while she was there, she went on record asking God for a son. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 10, Hannah was deep in anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow, "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime." And she had a baby and named him Samuel. And the name Samuel means "I asked the Lord for him." And the Bible says she nursed that newborn baby boy Samuel until he was weaned. And then in chapter 1, verse 24, it says, "When the child was weaned, Hannah took him back to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. And after sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli." He was the priest. And Hannah, this new mother, said to the priest, "Sir, do you remember me? I am the woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." And they worshiped the Lord there. Every child is a gift from God, even those that were not planned. And every child should be given back to God for their whole life. In 1 Samuel 3 and 1, it says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days." There was no widespread revelation. Now, how sad it is to think of a time, even pre-dark ages, to where it could be said of that era, the word of the Lord was rare. There was no widespread revelation. It's easy to understand only if you realize there was no Holy Spirit released in the earth back then. Now, we live in a day that's much different than that. The word of the Lord is not rare. It is bountiful. You can hear it. You can read it. We have it available. And we have the teacher living inside of us who expounds and teaches us the revelation of what God's word means. But back when Samuel was born, there was no revelation of God much in the earth. No Holy Spirit in the earth to teach the word and to give revelation of God. But God began speaking, and Samuel, that special boy Hannah prayed into existence, heard a fresh word, a word God had not spoken, and he became Israel's great prophet. That little boy that would not have been here had the mama not said, "If you'll answer my prayer and give me a son, I'll give him back to you and he will be yours his entire lifetime." That miracle baby grew up to be Israel's great prophet and the one God used to speak to the nation, the word of the Lord, and the one God used to anoint kings to rule over God's people. You never know the harvest that can come from a seed And every child is a gift, and every child should be given back to God. Would you?